So the NFL season obviously kicked off this weekend. And Dan, you're doing well on your fantasy league.
Yes, I am the lead. Good chance of winning tomorrow.
Oh, good for you, man.
Thank you.
Good for you. So we thought we would tell you about how all 32 NFL teams got their names. Now, Dan, how many of these did you know?
I knew probably maybe 5-8 of them.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Vic, do you know any of the origin stories behind some of the NFL team names?
I know some backstories to teams that have moved from one city to another, but yeah. I can't think of any that I know right off the top of my head.
Let me start with the Bears. I think we should. Don't we all kind of know where this came from?
It is one of the more legendary / logical ones.
Yeah. In 1921, the Decatur Staleys, a charter member of the American Football Professional Football Association, moved to Chicago and kept their nickname, a nod to the team's sponsor, the Staley Starch Company. I love that the that the mascot of the Chicago Bears is named after a starch company. I I think that's pretty fantastic. So when star player George Halas purchased the team the following year, he decided to change the nickname. The Chicago played its home games at Wrigley Field, which is the home of the Chicago the baseball Cubs, and Halas opted to stick with the theme. So it is related to the Cubs. So, except the Cubs are all cute, and the Bears are ready to kill. So that one I knew about. I really didn't know that Staley was a starch company. I knew that they were called the Staleys.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
And I mean, I knew it had to be a name of, you know, like whoever owned them or what the nickname was. But now to come full circle that the mascot is named after a starch company, that kind of cracks me up. Staley's a good mascot, though.
He is, yes.
Yeah, he's great. Speaking of mascots, I just shared a video on my Facebook page of JoJo's birthday party from a couple of months ago.
Oh, I did not know it was 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, he had 1 year, and they had a big birthday party at Brookfield Zoo. And they put together a video of JoJo acting like a lunatic, inviting people to his birthday party and then running around. JoJo, by the way, JoJo is the mascot for Jewel Osco. And he rules. He's got one eye, and it's big. All right. Arizona Cardinals. The franchise began play in Chicago in 1898 before moving to St. Louis in 1960 and Arizona in 1988. Team owner Chris O'Brien purchased used and faded maroon jerseys from the University of Chicago in 1901 and dubbed the color of the squad's new outfits Cardinal Red, and the nickname was born. That's really kind of a funny story. Yeah, we got these old, used, faded maroon jerseys from the University of Chicago. Arizona Cardinals. Now, when the franchise, when they played in Chicago, were they the Cardinals?
I do not believe so.
And then, no, because that was 1898. Now, when they moved to St. Louis, they weren't the Cardinals either, were they? They weren't the St. Louis Cardinals football team, were they?
They might have been by that point. I'm trying to pull up their Wikipedia here.
Oh, okay. And then and when they moved to Arizona, then they became the Cardinals again. So,
well, they were. I know when I was like in high school, they were the St. Louis Cardinals.
They were. So they had a
99% sure
a football team and a baseball team named the Cardinals in St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost positive.
You guys would know better than me. I don't follow the football. I just think, are there any other sports teams in cities that have the same name that are different sports?
It comes up a few times on this list that they ended up having to change their names because there was a baseball team or another team, you know, in the same area.
Mm. All right. The Atlanta Falcons, shortly after insurance executive Rankin Smith brought professional football to Atlanta, a local radio station sponsored a contest to name the team. While several fans submitted the nickname Falcons, school teacher Julia Elliott of nearby Griffin was declared the winner of the contest for the reason she provided. The Falcon is proud and dignified with great courage and fight, she wrote. It never drops its prey. It is deadly and has great sporting tradition. Elliott won 4 season tickets for 3 years and a football autographed by the entire 1966 inaugural team. Well, we all know this one, the Baltimore Ravens. That's an obvious one.
There's another obvious one.
What? Which one is that?
The Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking after I told you no. Oh, that's pretty, you know, that's kind of a given.
Yeah, it is. I remember, you know, hoping that when the Ravens came into being, I remember I was hoping that their logo would somehow, like, because Edgar Allan Poe is my favorite writer of all time, and I was hoping they would somehow have his face on the on the helmet. I was hoping that it would be Edgar Allan Poe's face. But no, that's not true. But Ravens is a reference to Edgar Allan Poe's famous poem. It beat out Americans and Marauders in a contest conducted by the Baltimore Sun. Poe died and is buried in Baltimore. The Marauders and the Americans. Okay. How about this? Buffalo Bills. The Bills nickname was suggested as part of a fan contest in 1947 to rename Buffalo's All-American Football Conference team, which was originally known as the Bisons. The Bills nickname referenced frontiersman Buffalo Bill Cody and was selected over Bullets, Nickels, and Blue Devils. Nickels? Oh, because of the Buffalo Nickel. Oh, I see. All right. It helped that the team was owned by President of Frontier Oil, James Brule. So they went with Bills. Buffalo was without a team from 1950 to 59 when owner Ralph Wilson acquired a franchise in the AFL. Wilson solicited potential nicknames from fans for his new franchise and ultimately chose Bills in an homage to the city's defunct AAFC team. That would have been, I thought that would be pretty funny if they were the Nickels. What would their mascot be? Like a guy in a giant nickel costume? With his arms sticking out of the sides.
What if they had 5 mascots and they were all pennies? Something like that.
Oh, man. Carolina Panthers. Panthers team president Mark Richardson, the son of team owner Jerry Richardson, chose the Panthers nickname because, quote, it's a name our family thought signifies what we think a proud team should be. Powerful, sleek, and strong. How about that? Oh, we got more information on the Cardinals, Dan? Here's Don on WGN. Hi, Don.
Yeah. My stepfather's father played football for the Illinois Cardinals in 1903. His name was Ensweiler.
Uh-huh.
They were from the South Side. They had the original franchise for the NFL in Chicago.
They did? Oh, okay.
And they invited the Bears to move to Chicago to make more money.
I see. Okay.
And there's a whole website. Some kids got one up with all the pictures of them. And it just Illinois Cardinals, Chicago Cardinals. And it'll show you the history on it.
Okay. All right. Going back in time there. Yeah. All right, Don.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
They've been around for quite a while.
Yeah. Very cool. Thank you, Don.
Take it easy.
All right. So the Bears, 1921 is when they moved to Chicago. So, yeah. How about this? Cincinnati Bengals, team owner, general manager, and head coach Paul Brown nicknamed Cincinnati's AFL expansion franchise the Bengals in 1968 in honor of the football team nicknamed the Bengals that played in the city from 37 to 42. So the Bengals were around before. How about the Cleveland? But hey, did the Browns actually win yesterday?
No, they They did, however, snap their 17-game losing streak, but they tied.
Oh, they wait.
They're still winless.
Wait a minute. There are ties in the NFL?
Now, for ties, that, you'll have to ask Dan. I think he'll be able to explain it a little better, but yes, there are.
How is that a thing now?
So they do not play until they have a set of rules, but it's a 10-minute overtime period, and at the end of that 10 minutes, if nobody has scored within these set of rules, because you have to score 6 basically in order to win the game. They instituted this rule a couple of years ago because everybody would just they'd win the coin toss, go 30 yards and kick a field goal, and that would be the end of the game. So to make it more even, they basically instituted a rule where it was either you get the first team that wins the coin flip has to go and get 6, or if they don't, if they get 3, the other team gets the ball back and have a chance to meet it up. In this case, the Browns and the Steelers did not do anything in their overtime period, and so at the end of the 10-minute overtime, it ended, and that was it.
Is this the first time they've had a tie? It was 2 years, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but this is not the first tie. There's been 2 or 3 every year since.
I think it was pretty dramatic, too. I read that somebody blocked the field goal.
A Steeler blocked the field goal in the last seconds.
You know, I can just picture the Browns, like, praying before the game, God, please just don't let us lose. And then later praying, you know, maybe I should have been a little more specific.
And the Browns had come back from 14 down. They played really well in the second half and then lost it.
They tied.
But they didn't lose.
No, but they didn't lose.
Because I think Bud Light has fridges locked up around Cleveland for when they win, and when they will unlock the fridges so people can have the beer.
We were talking about that as a promotion. And saying that there are definitely not enough beers in that stadium to satisfy all the Cleveland fans who are going to want. I mean, Cleveland, known as a city for bad beer promotions at sporting events. 10-cent beer night? We all remember how legendary that was. Oh, man. I feel bad for the Browns fans. Well, they didn't lose, so, but still. And if it was in that kind of dramatic fashion with a blocked field goal, I have friends from Cleveland. I guess I was sleeping during that game, so I guess I didn't check out the news feed of my friends from Cleveland who were probably going nuts. All right. Okay, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk more about, but what we'll tell you first of all when we come back, how the Cleveland Browns got their name. Not one of the best names in sports, I don't think. So let's take a break here on WGN. All right. Welcome back, everyone. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is Monday morning. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke. We're going to talk about some rock and roll pioneers, some really true pioneers as well. But right now, you know, the NFL season kicked off this weekend, and we're telling you the origins of the names of the NFL teams. And some of them are pretty funny, and some of them are pretty interesting. And we were just at the Cleveland Browns. And before the break, we were discussing, Dan and Vic and I were discussing, that the Browns tied today. Is there? I'm sure you're not familiar with the Browns' full schedule, but has anybody said whether they have a tough schedule or not this year?
I don't know their schedule, but there's a lot of excitement about the team.
Is there?
Yeah, they have made significant moves to try to become better, and a lot of people think that they will get a win this year. That's for sure, and they will get multiple wins. So
okay. Anyway, here's their name. There is some debate about whether Cleveland's professional football franchise was named after its first coach and general manager, Paul Brown, or after boxer Joe Louis, who was nicknamed the Brown Bomber. There's two conflicting reasons, two conflicting stories there. One of the other obvious ones that Vic was mentioning a little bit earlier is the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, who began play in the NFL in 1960, were originally going to be nicknamed the Steers. team's general manager, Texas E. Schramm. The guy's name was Texas? Come on, really? The guy who owned the Dallas football team, his name was, his general manager was Texas. Okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's like if the owner of the Bears was named Grizzly. That would be all right. Grizzly Adams was the owner of the Bears. So Texas E. Schramm decided that having a castrated bovine as a mascot might subject the team to ridicule, so he decided to go with Rangers instead. But fearing that people would confuse the football team with the local minor league baseball team nicknamed the Rangers, Schramm finally changed the nickname to Cowboys shortly after the season began. That's one of the best stories, man. That's one of the best ones. With having a castrated bovine as a mascot. The guy in a mascot costume would come on and go, ah, oh, and clutch his crotch while he's running around in the seats. Texas E. Schramm. All right, Denver Broncos. Denver was a charter member of the AFL in 1960, and Broncos, which was submitted along with a 25-word essay by Ward M. Vining. Man, some great names in these things, man. Ward M. Vining? Used to hang out with Texas E. Schramm. Let's see, he was the winning entry among 162 fans who responded in a Name the Team contest. So they had a lot of contests for naming teams.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. The Detroit Lions, the nickname was likely derived from Detroit's established baseball team, the Tigers, who won 101 games in the AL pennant that year. As the team explained it, the lion is the monarch of the jungle, and we hope to be the monarch of the league. Oh. Oh. Green Bay Packers, who defeated the Chicago Bears last night. How many times did they play the Packers this year? Three times? Twice?
Twice.
Twice. And then it's here next time, right?
Regular season.
Oh, okay. All right. Green Bay Packers. Team founder Earl Curly Lambeau, his employer, the Indian Packing Company, sponsored Green Bay's football team and provided equipment and access to the field. The Indian Packing Company became the Acme Packing Company and later folded, but the nickname stuck. I knew that one. I mean, as you do, even if you're a casual football watcher like I am, you know, you know where the Packers got their name from because it's such a strange name, you know? Boy, people have fun making fun of that name, don't they? There's so many ways that you can go, so many different avenues that you can go to make fun of the name. and people go there. Cub fan, Bear fans go there. Right, how about this? The Houston Texans. Houston owner Bob McNair chose Texans over Apollos and Stallions. And that's it. That's the only explanation that they have. The boss said, I don't want Apollos, I don't want Stallions, we're Texans. All right. Let's take a break. If you guys want to jump in here with any comments or questions, it's 312-981-7200. If you guys have any origin stories for nicknames of any sports teams, 312-981-7200. If you have a favorite one, we would love to hear from you. So you can talk or text us right now with where the nicknames and names from sports teams came from. We're specifically talking about the NFL, but we can expand it to other sports as well. But we're specifically talking about the NFL because it kicked off this weekend. All right. Let's take a quick break. We got the news coming up next, and then we'll get back to more of the team nicknames. Some great stories. Texas E. Schramm. I think he's my new hero. All right. News is up next. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here. It's a Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. And more. We're going to be talking about some legendary rock and roll pioneers in just a little bit. And we also have we're talking about some NFL team names and some of the history and stories behind them. If you guys want to jump in with your favorite sort of team naming history stories. 312-981-7200. This list that we're talking about, the stories are about NFL teams, and doing this because the NFL kicked off. The new season started this weekend, and so we thought it would be appropriate to talk about that. But if you have any other special nickname stories that you like, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, let's get back to it. Indianapolis Colts. The Baltimore Colts, a member of the All-America Football Conference from 1947 and 1950, was named in honor of the region's history of horse breeding. The name remained when a new franchise began to play in 1953, and then after the team relocated in Indianapolis in 1984. Yeah, that's because there's no, but there's no horse breeding in Indianapolis, is there? That's pretty funny when the nickname from a different part of the country sticks. Like, there are no Colts in Indianapolis, are there, Dan? They're not known for that, but they have horse breeding in Baltimore. So, you know, it's one of my favorite. You ever see the movie Injustice for All, where Al Pacino's screaming, "You're out of order," and I'm out of order?
I have not.
Okay, it's a great movie. It really is a great movie. It's one of my favorites, in fact. It's completely over the top. Pacino, you know, he's not as bad as he was later in his career, but that was kind of the first. That was like he jimmied the lock on the screaming door. You know, kicked it wide open for Scent of a Woman. You know what I mean? But, like, kind of jimmied that lock with And Justice for All. He screams pretty good in that movie. But it takes place in Baltimore. The movie takes place in Baltimore. And he plays a lawyer who is defending a judge played by John Forsythe, Charlie, of Charlie's Angels fame. And Dynasty. Everybody knows him from Dynasty. Blake Carrington. So, anyway, he defends this judge on a sexual, like a rape charge. And the reason why he was asked to defend him is because they have a really bad relationship, like they hate each other. And so it was like a political move for the judge and his strategists to get Al Pacino, because if Al Pacino is going to defend him, then he's got to be innocent. And that's basically what the movie's about. And it takes place within the law world of Baltimore. And at one point, Jeffrey Tambor's in it with hair. Well, not the whole movie. He shaves his head at one point because he goes insane and starts throwing plates down a hallway. Because what happens is he's a defense attorney, too. And he gets this murderer off on a technicality. So, like, brilliant defense. He gets this guy off, and he was guilty. The guy was a killer, and he was guilty. He gets set out on the street, and then he kills a bunch of kids. And so Tambor has a nervous breakdown because he's responsible for getting this guy off. And this murder charge, and it was one of these, one of the things about the movie is that it's like, what is it like to be a defense attorney? Even if you know that this guy's guilty, you know, what do you do? So he has a meltdown. But anyway, Tambor's in it. At the beginning of the movie, Tambor's got this guy that he's bringing up on a burglary charge or something, and Forsythe is the judge, and he's a real strict judge, a real jerk. He goes, you've brought before me, you've been brought before this court many times, haven't you? And his client, the guy that is Tambor's client, says, yeah, yes, Your Honor, yes, I have. And he's like, for what do you got? You got attempted rape, burglary, arson? What's the matter? Don't you know what you want to be when you grow up? And then he's like, shakes his head, and he says, his response is, does the client have anything else to say? Does the defendant have anything else to say? And he looks over at Tambor, and Tambor shakes his head, no, don't say anything, just shut up, don't say anything. He goes, yes, Your Honor. Long pause, and he goes, I'm a loyal Colts fan. It's one of my favorite lines in the entire movie. And then he throws the book at him, like the worst possible, you know, like he goes, then as they're walking out, Tambor is walking out with him, and his bail is revoked, and he has to, you know, he's going to be walking out, and they're going to throw him back in the clink. And as they're walking out, Jeffrey Tambor goes, nice move, Colts fan, like I need that right now. Yes, sir, Your Honor, I'm a loyal Colts fan. All right, Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars' nickname was selected through another fan contest in 1991. While Jaguars aren't native to Jacksonville, the oldest living Jaguar in North America is housed at the Jacksonville Zoo. So they're named after, like, some old Jaguars, like, going, oh, man, I'm 107 years old. That's a good story. The Kansas City Chiefs Owner Lamar Hunt said the name was locally important because Native Americans had once lived in the area. Hunt may have also been swayed by Kansas City Mayor H. Roe Bartle, whose nickname was the Chief. Bartle helped lure the team to Kansas City by promising Hunt that the city would meet certain attendance thresholds. H. Roe Bartle, another great name. The Los Angeles Chargers. Team owner Baron Hilton sponsored a Name the Team contest and promised a trip to Mexico City to the winner in 1960. Gerald Courtney submitted Chargers, and Hilton reportedly liked the name so much that he didn't open another letter. That's fair. Nice contest. Nice way to run a contest, Baron. According to one story, Hilton liked the name in part for its affiliation with his new carte blanche credit card. Because you charge with the credit card, see? There's a charge. The owner also told reporters that he found he was fond of the charge bugle cry played in the Los Angeles Coliseum. All right. How about the Los Angeles Rams? Principal owner Homer Marshman. What? Wow. And general manager Damon Buzz Wetzel. These can't be real.
I mean, if you think about it, it's the 10s and the 20s, so I didn't have anything better to do than name their kids weird stuff.
Homer Marshman and Damon Buzz Wetzel chose the nickname because Wetzel's favorite football team had always been the Fordham Rams. Fordham, Vince Lombardi's alma mater, was a powerhouse at the time. Oh, okay. Miami Dolphins. And you know the proudest moment in Miami Dolphins history? Ace Ventura. Their association with Ace Ventura. name the team contest drew 20,000 entries and resulted in the nickname for the Miami franchise that entered the AFL as an expansion team in 1966. Wow, they've only been around since 66? The Dolphins? Why did I think they had a longer history? They just feel like a team that had a longer history.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, because of the 16-0, and they get talked about a lot.
Yeah. Miami owner Joe Robbie was fond of the winning nickname because, as he put it, the Dolphin is one of the fastest and smartest creatures in the sea. Yeah, but you guys aren't in the sea. You're on a football field. Yeah, Dolphins. Minnesota Vikings. According to the Vikings website, Burt Rose, Minnesota. See, now there's a normal name, Burt Rose. Minnesota's general manager, when it joined in the NFL in 1961, recommended the nickname to the team's board of directors because it represented both an aggressive person with the will to win and the Nordic tradition of the northern Midwest. Yeah, that's a good name. Yeah, good name. Let's see. New England Patriots. 74 fans suggested Patriots in the Name the Team contest that was conducted by management, the management of Boston's original AFL franchise in 1960. Pat Patriot, the cartoon of a Minuteman preparing to snap a football drawn by Boston Globe's Phil Bissell, was chosen as the team's logo soon after. His name is Pat? I didn't know his name was Pat. I mean, I know the nickname of the Patriots is the Pats, but I didn't know their mascot was Pat Patriot. I didn't know that. I just thought he was just some patriot, but it's Pat, the Patriot.
I do love when they use the name.
When they use the name?
When, like you know, it's the same name as the...
What's the mascot for the Clark, right?
Clark, correct.
Okay. You remember when they first announced the mascot and people were fuming because they were spending money on a mascot and not because the team was sucked. They sucked at that time. They were in that transition, that weird Theo transition. By the way, I hung out with Theo Epstein over the weekend.
Name dropper.
He was at Buffalo Tom, hung out with Theo Epstein, and I was there the moment that Bryce Harper hit the home run and he had his phone. He did not have kind words to say about Bryce Harper. He's a cool dude, man. I've met him a couple of times, and he's a very, very cool dude. And he got on stage with Buffalo Tom. He plays guitar. He got on stage with Buffalo Tom, and they covered the Who song, The Seeker. It was a jam.
Very nice. Right?
And Dag Juhlin came on stage and played guitar, too, and then I talked to him for, like, a long time. He's a Dag's a big fan of this show. I wasn't aware of that.
That's awesome.
He's a really big fan of this show, and he made that abundantly clear Saturday night. I was beside myself. I was thrilled. I was like, thank you, man. Guy's a radio guy himself. Works with Dahl.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And a legend. I mean, Poi Dog Pondering?
Sure.
Been part of the Chicago music scene for a long time. Very cool guy. So anyway, when Clark first made his little debut and people were upset because, you know, why don't you spend money on pitching instead of a bear,
right,
a bear costume? Do you remember when the image of Clark was messed with?
Yes.
And it ended up over the shoulders of some anchors on TV?
Right, right.
They put genitalia
right
on Clark.
Because Clark doesn't wear pants.
Yeah, like many cartoon characters, right, and mascots, they sans pants, but someone put like genitalia on it, and it made it several TV stations.
Yep.
It wasn't just like one mistake. How do you not see that?
Right. Well, some intern,
yeah,
just like, hey, get us a picture of Clark. All right.
Yeah, and he goes online and gets the one with the genitalia. The
first one that pops up in Google in my church.
Oh, man. That was funny. That was pretty funny. Peter in Decatur sends in some a story here. Staley was more than a starch company. It was a corn and soybean processing company. One of the many products from corn and was corn starch, but there are many others. One small example is the corn to make light beer. I worked at A.C. Staley's. Wow. Peter worked at Staley's. All right. Canadian Bill says the Montreal Canadiens are known as the Habs. I know that one. In the 20s, there were two teams in the Montreal, the Canadiens and the Maroons. The Canadiens were a working-class team, and the Maroons made fun of them because there is a pea soup in Quebec called Habitat Soup. It was eaten by the working class. The Maroons called them the Habitants, and that's the Canadiens were proud of that, and they adopted the nickname. I knew that story. We know why it's hockey. That's why it's a sport that I actually follow. I remember hearing someone refer to them as the Habs years ago, and I was like, Habs? What the hell? And that's how I got the story. I love that, though. I love that. It's one of my favorite nicknames.
That is cool.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we're going to break here. Let's get a little weather forecast for you here. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What's going on? We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Monday morning. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because that's what we do on Monday. We hear jokes. Coming up at 5 is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and at 6, Steve Cochran with your morning drive. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's all coming up. So we have been talking about the stories behind some of these names of the NFL teams have. Some of them are really fun, and we've come across some interesting stories and some very interesting and weird names to go along with these stories. And we thought we would talk about how the NFL franchises got their names because it was football season, just started. So we got a couple of phone calls coming in. If you want to text or call us with your stories or comments, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's Chris on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Nick, are you old enough to remember a toy called the Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Lamar Hunt and the Kansas City Chiefs are trying to come up with a name for the Super Bowl. And his little daughter was playing with a Super Bowl.
Oh, and that's how they got the name from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. See that? Your daughter was playing with a Super Bowl, and they came up with Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh. And the Portage Lake Flyers were the first professional hockey team in the United States. That's pre-NFL.
NHL, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you, Chris.
You bet.
Okay. Yeah, the old suit. Did you ever have a Super Bowl, Dan, when you were a kid?
I mean, I like the really bouncy ones, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think bounces like 500
sure.
feet into the air.
Yeah.
I used to like to bounce it in the room.
Bang
all over the wall, maybe go through a window. Or, of course, throw it, gun it at my friend's face.
Right, right.
Which is, you know.
Was that before or after smacking him with the hot tracks?
With the hot wheel tracks? Usually at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah. We loved it. We really did have fun playing when we were kids in the 70s. It was so much fun. The injuries were great. Okay, New Orleans Saints. New Orleans was awarded an NFL franchise on All Saints Day, November 1st, 1966. The nickname chosen by owner John Meekum, was a nod to the city's jazz heritage and taken from the popular song "When the Saints Go Marching In." I knew that one. That's an obvious one, though, of course.
Yeah.
New York Giants. New York owner Tim Mara borrowed the Giants nickname from John McGraw's National League Baseball team, a common practice by football teams during the era when baseball was the nation's preeminent team sport. The New York Jets. According to a contemporary New York Times story, the franchise considered calling itself the Dodgers, but nixed the idea after Major League Baseball didn't like it. Gotham's also got some consideration, but the team didn't like the idea of having it short to Goths because they weren't nice people. And they would have to come out in black makeup, right? Black eyeliner and lipstick. Be part of the uniform.
Right.
And they would come out to the field to The Cure. And here are your New York Goths. You hear Disintegration playing as they take the field. The last finalist to fall was the New York Burrows, a pun on the city's burrows. The team worried about that opposing fans would make the Burrows connection and derisively call the squad the Jackasses. Eventually, the team became the Jets since it was going to play in Shea Stadium, which was close to LaGuardia. Okay. Oakland Raiders. Chet Soda. Oakland's first general manager sponsored a Name the Team contest in 1960. Helen H. Davis, an Oakland policewoman, submitted the winning entry, Seniors, and was rewarded with a trip to the Bahamas. The nickname, an allusion to the old Spanish settlers of Northern California, was ridiculed for weeks to follow, and fans also claimed that the contest was fixed. Scotty Sterling, a sports writer for the Oakland Tribune, would later become the team's general manager, provided another reason to abandon the nickname. That's no good, he said. We don't have the accent mark for the N in our headline type. Responding to backlash, Soda and the team's other investors decided that they would change the team's nickname to the Raiders, which was a finalist in the contest along with Lakers. Philadelphia Eagles, 1933, Burt Bell and Lud Ray purchased the bankrupt Frankfurt Yellow Jackets. The new owners renamed the team the Eagles in honor of the symbol of the National Recovery Act, which was part of President D. Roosevelt's New Deal. Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, this is not another obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Santoni, who worked in a mill for Pittsburgh Steel, was one of the several fans who suggested Steelers. Santoni received a pair of season tickets, which he would renew every year until his death in 2003. Oh. San Francisco 49ers. 49ers, who began to play in the All-American Football Conference in 1946, were named after the settlers who ventured to San Francisco during the Gold Rush of 1849. I knew that one, too. By the way, Scott Oaken's most hated football team.
Really?
Hates him. Hates him. Hates every good quarterback that ever played for him. Hates him. I'm not sure where the and he still hates the 49ers, and I'm not sure where that comes from. He hates them more than the Packers.
Wow.
I know, man. I don't get it. Seattle Seahawks. Our new name suggests aggressiveness, reflects our soaring Northwest heritage, and belongs to no other major team, Seattle general manager John Thompson said. The Seahawks helmet design is a stylized head of a fish-eating hawk of the Northwest. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A panel of local sports writers and representatives from the NFL expansion team, including owner Hugh F. Culverhouse, chose Buccaneers from an original list of more than 400 names in 1975. The nickname, which is a popular choice among fans in the Name the Team contest, was a nod to the pirates who raided Florida's coasts in the 17th century. Oh, that's okay. It's a nod to the people that raided your coast.
Right.
Tennessee Titans. After relocating from Houston to Tennessee in 1995, the team played two seasons as the Oilers before owner Bud Adams held a statewide contest to rename the team. Titans were chosen over other nicknames such as Tornadoes, Copperheads, South Stars, and Wranglers. I like South Stars. That's pretty cool. We wanted a new nickname to reflect strength, leadership, and heroic qualities. And then finally, the Washington Redskins. This is 1 year after acquiring an NFL franchise in Boston, George Preston Marshall changed the team's nickname from Braves to Redskins. According to most accounts, the nickname was meant to honor head coach and Native American William Henry Lone Star Dietz. Though some question, there's some question whether Dietz was a Native American at all. The Redskins kept their controversial nickname when they relocated to Washington, D.C. in 1937. So there you go.
Keith in Kansas texts in, Wichita is in the process of making room for a AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins, presently known as the New Orleans Baby Cakes. I hope the name has changed once they get to town.
Well, it's a famous thing, though. You know, get the cake and there's a baby in it.
Yeah, I remember we did a segment about, you know, mascots.
Yeah.
And one of the lists was the scariest mascots of all time.
Yeah.
And one of them was one of the New Orleans Baby from the Cakes.
It's terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
It's terrifying. If you've not seen that, I think it's a basketball. I think it's their basketball team,
that
right?
That sounds right.
But, yeah, it's like, the little baby that you get inside the cake. But it was giant. It's like a, it's terrifying. I mean, even me, I love mascots, and I love weird looking mascots, crazy looking mascots, but that's just creepy. Just creepy. So, all right.
Well, and that, the New Orleans thing reminds me of one of the funniest, nickname stories. It's the Utah Jazz. A lot of people don't know why, but they started in New Orleans.
Right.
And moved to Utah. That's why they just kept the name.
Yeah.
But when New Orleans got the new team, and now they're the Pelicans, but one of the names they considered was the Chupacabras, the New Orleans Chupacabras.
That would be a hell of a mascot.
Yeah, I know. That would, you know, steal the fear of everybody in the league.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Well, there you go. We're going to take a break here. We've got the news coming up, and then we're going to talk about some legendary rock and roll pioneers. And then a little bit later on, even more, my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. That's all right here on 720 WGN. The news is coming up in just about 8 seconds.